From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, we'll hear another message in the life and earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, a series preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Losses Overcome. The text is found in Joel chapter 2, verse 25. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten. Yes, those wasted years over which we sigh shall be restored to us. God can give us such plentiful grace that we shall crowd into the remainder of our days as much of service as will be some recompense for those years of unregeneracy over which we mourn in humble penitence. The locusts of backsliding, worldliness, lukewarmness, are now viewed by us as a terrible plague. Oh, that they had never come near us! The Lord in mercy has now taken them away, and we are full of zeal to serve Him. Blessed be His name! We can raise such harvests of spiritual graces as shall make our former barrenness to disappear. Through rich grace we can turn to account our bitter experience and use it to warn others. We can become the more rooted in humility, childlike dependence, and penitent spirituality by reason of our former shortcomings. If we are the more watchful, zealous, and tender, we shall gain by our lamentable losses. The wasted years, by a miracle of love, can be restored. Does it seem too great a boon? Let us believe for it and live for it, and we may yet realize it, even as Peter became all the more useful a man after his presumption was cured by his discovered weakness. Lord, aid us by thy grace.
Sometimes a light surprises the Christian while he sees. It is the Lord who rises with
spreading heavens, no creed.
If you have been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. These songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may call 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. Today on Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns continues his series in the life and earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ as he begins a message entitled, The Descent of the Holy Spirit on Christ at His Baptism. As the Lord Jesus rose from the waters of baptism, all four of the Gospels state that the heavens were opened, the Spirit descended like a dove and abode upon Christ. Dr. Cairns will show that this has implications for all believers, for as that heavenly anointing by the Spirit followed Christ's washing in the waters of baptism, so all truly saved people receive the Holy Spirit after their repentance unto life. By anointing Christ with the Spirit, God the Father established his credentials and provided him with all the power he needed for the ministry ahead. In addition, the Spirit's descent upon Christ testified to the Savior's purity, something no one else born to Adam's race can claim. Now Dr. Cairns will bring the first portion of this message entitled, The Descent of the Holy Spirit on Christ at His Baptism.
Each of the four Gospels, and we will turn to John as well in a minute, but each of the four Gospels carries a reference to the fact that the Father sent the Holy Spirit upon the Lord Jesus Christ at the beginning of his public ministry. And the first three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, note that it was at the time of Christ's baptism that this took place, so that we can be in no doubt whatsoever as to the importance for Christ's ministry of this event when the Spirit of God descended upon him. But we also can be, I think, in no doubt as to the primary importance of the same event in our own lives and in our own service for Christ. Now, the sequence of events surrounding this anointing is clear. We turn to Matthew chapter 3. We find that first, the Lord Jesus was baptized. You remember last Sabbath morning, I dealt with the significance of the fact that the sinless Son of God was baptized with a baptism of repentance for sin. And then immediately the Holy Ghost descended upon him. We read in Matthew 3:16, Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, or coming upon him. Mark chapter 1, verse 10, straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened, and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. Luke 3, verse 22, speaks of the Holy Ghost, says he descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And so Christ was baptized, and the Spirit in the bodily shape like a dove descended upon him. Then the Father testified with a voice from heaven, Matthew 3:17, lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Mark 1:11 again says, there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And Luke 3:22 tells us exactly the same thing. And so Christ was baptized, the Spirit came like a dove upon him, the voice spoke from heaven, and then John the Baptist testified of him. We read it in John chapter 1, verses 32 through 34. John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. When all that happened, we are told that Jesus was filled with the Holy Ghost. Luke 4, verse 1 follows immediately on this narrative, and it says, Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan. And John puts it in different words in chapter 3, verse 34, but nonetheless, it's a testimony to the same fact. God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. So he was baptized, the Spirit descended upon him, the Father spoke from heaven, and John bore witness on earth. The result was that Jesus was filled with the Holy Ghost, and then immediately was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. We are told in Matthew 4, verse 1, then, consequent upon all these things, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Mark 1, verse 12 says, immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And Luke 4, the first two verses tell us clearly, Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. We're not going to deal with the temptations at this time, but immediately after these temptations, we read Luke 4, verse 14, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit unto Galilee. So that this fullness was not just a momentary experience, but it was an experience of the Spirit of God coming upon him at the very commencement of his ministry that marked the rest of the ministry of Christ, where with the Holy Spirit granted without measure, he ministered in the fullness of the Spirit of God. Now, all these texts are summed up very simply in one statement that the Apostle Peter made in the household of Cornelius. And I suppose if you want the text, this would be our text that will sum up everything else. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, we read that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And that sums up the teachings of the four Gospels on this very significant and important matter. The message is simple and clear, that by anointing Christ with the Holy Ghost, God the Father established Christ's credentials, and then he supplied him with all the necessary power for his ministry upon the earth. God, by sending the Spirit upon Christ, first of all, clearly established his credentials to be the Savior, to be the mediator, to be the redeemer, to live and to die and to rise again. And he gave him all the power that was necessary for the Savior to do the work that he had been sent to do. Now that's a simple statement, easily made, but it has far-reaching consequences. I want you to think first of all that descending upon Christ, the Holy Spirit identified him as the Son of God. We have read in Matthew 3:17 how that a voice from heaven came when Christ was baptized and the Spirit came upon him, and the voice said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And the other Gospels tell us how that the Father actually addressed Christ personally as the Spirit came upon him and said, "Thou art my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Now this is how God the Father identified his Son for him to be recognized on earth, so that we may know who he was and why he came into the world. Now, when you stop to think of it, there's something rather amazing about that, something very instructive. I say it's amazing because here we have God manifested in the flesh. We have the Creator of the world walking among his creatures. We have the one whom heaven's angels worship, and he's standing among men. And the amazing thing is, in the words of John, in chapter 1 of John's Gospel, the words of John the Baptist, "There standeth one among you whom ye know not." If ever you needed a testimony to the blindness that is natural to the mind and heart of man, here it is. People wonder, how is it that sinners can't see that they're sinners? How is it that they can't see that their time is short? How is it that they can't see that they need to be saved? How is it that they can't see this and they can't see that? Why should we be amazed? When the second person of the Trinity took flesh and dwelt among men, walked amongst them, John said, "There's one standing right in your midst, the very God of glory manifested in flesh, and you don't recognize him. You can't see him." My, what blindness there is. What a result of the fall. And surely, until God deals with that blindness in a way that will not only identify Christ, but take the scales from off the eyes of the blind, they remain blind. That's why salvation is of the Lord. That's why the work of the Holy Spirit in effectual calling is first the enlightenment of the understanding and then the renewing of the will, so that he gives the light and he gives the desire to have the light, without which no man will ever be saved. Amazing indeed that God would need to make an identification. But this is how he did it. And I want you to notice very clearly that this is the way God does identify his Son. And we'll see in a moment how very important that is for us, by the Spirit of God coming upon him. The Lord Jesus, you see, when he came into the earth, he came as God, yes, but God veiled in flesh. Veiled in flesh. What does that mean? Take the words of Paul in Romans 3. God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. This is why men couldn't see him. This is why they despised him, according to Isaiah 53. They took him to be one of themselves. Philippians 2 tells us how Christ made himself of no reputation. Amazing indeed. That he would so veil his glory that standing among men, he would need a voice from heaven to identify his person and establish his credentials. But it's also instructive, for we have much to learn from this event. The first thing that I think is very interesting is that when the Holy Ghost came upon Christ, he came in the form of a dove. He did not come as on the day of Pentecost with the sound of a mighty rushing wind. He did not come with tongues of fire. He did not come in any way but in the bodily shape like a dove. Now why? I think that in so doing, first and foremost, he was testifying to the purity of Christ. I emphasized when we were reading this how that the Holy Spirit came upon Christ, and John said he was told to watch for the one upon whom the Spirit came and remained upon Christ. Now, what's the significance? Every time I read that, my mind goes back to the 8th chapter of Genesis. Because there you've got the story of the end of Noah's flood. Noah sent out first a raven from the ark. The raven was completely at home amidst all the debris and all the carnage that was then on the earth. Didn't matter to a raven at all that there was no clean place. So the raven never returned. But when he sent out a dove, the dove flew around, and we read in Genesis chapter 8 verse 9 how the dove returned to the ark, but the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him in the ark. It was only later that she went out and came back with an olive leaf plucked off, and then later still that she could go out and remain upon the earth when she had found a clean place upon which to rest the sole of her feet. Now take the emblem in Matthew chapter 3. It is in the form of a dove that the Spirit of God comes. He could go across all the world, and among all the sons of men, there was not a single person upon whom the holy dove of God could come and remain. There was not one who was clean among all the sons of Adam. This is the first time in the history of the world that the Spirit of God could come without measure. Not merely imparting some of his gifts, not merely imparting some of his benefits, but in the fullness of his own blessed person, he could come and he could rest and he could remain upon this one. Never in the history of the world could that happen. But it did happen with the Lord Jesus Christ, for the holy dove of God had found in the person of the God-man the one who was absolutely pure and the one who was absolutely holy. So the coming of the Holy Ghost like a dove upon the Savior was the testimony of God to the purity of the Lord Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.